Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
So my name is Pastor Jim, and I'm so glad to be with you guys tonight. I lead our Thousand Oaks campus, and every once in a while on a Wednesday night, I like to be with y'all. And so I'm so glad that you made a decision to come to church tonight, because I like to say showing up is half the battle. So some of you were struggling to even get here tonight, but I'm just going to declare it over you right now that since half the battle is showing up, you're already halfway to your victory. All right? So receive that as we're going to get in and talk about some love, okay? So if you have your Bibles, I want you to get them out. We're going to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you are watching from home, you're watching via Facebook, we are so glad that you joined us too. And if you are watching with Facebook, let us know where you're watching from. That's always fun to be able to see all of the different communities that are represented online that are watching our services. But we want to talk about love because there are a lot of aspects of Christianity that we should do well, but the one area that we need to make sure that we get right is how we love people. I mean, we have to make sure that we get this right. But here's the challenge. Our culture uses this word so much that it's hard to know what love is. Matter of fact, I kind of Googled this idea of love is, and it came up with a cartoon. I guess there's a whole cartoon series called Love Is. I don't know if you have the slide up there, but here it is. It says, love is his warm legs to put your cold feet on. Now, what got my attention about this is it kind of looks like my wife and me without the beard, obviously. And this is what she does to me. It freaks me out every time. But we have all of these ideas of what love is, but it's imperative that we understand how God defines it. And God is not silent when it comes to how he describes love. So that's why we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13, because it's known as the love chapter. And it gets very descriptive of what real, genuine love looks like, where it's not up for discussion. It's not up for, I guess, debate. It gives us a clearly defined definition. And before I launch into our message and before we read 1 Corinthians 13, I was with Ron and Debbie, Pastor Ron and Debbie, yesterday, along with Pastor Josh and his wife and their daughter, Olive. And we were there at Disneyland. And before we went into the park, we had a breakfast. We had an IHOP breakfast because Pastor Ron and Debbie wanted to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. 50. At IHOP. All right. So that's how we celebrate wedding anniversaries in our family. So we were there and we just had this amazing meal. And now I'm telling you, there's nothing more fun, I think, than taking an almost three-year-old to Disneyland, all right? Especially a little girl, and Olive, Pastor Josh's wife, she's like into that mode, like different princess dress on every day, you know? So we were all excited to be there. But as we were finishing our meal at IHOP, the waitress came over and said, somebody paid for your entire table for our breakfast. And I don't know. I think that's just super generous, by the way. And we don't know who this stranger was that paid for our meal, but we have a high suspicion it's a VBFer, all right? So if that was you, can I just say on behalf of the entire family, thank you so much for those free pancakes. They were amazing, all right? And whoever you are out there, that was super, super cool. But let's read 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous, love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You can see, I mean, the Bible is not silent about what love is. And so it's imperative, if our calling in our life is to love God and love people, if that's what we are called to do for heaven's sake, then it's imperative that we understand how to love the way God wants us to love. And so we started to talk about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and I'm going to continue to talk about it tonight. And I want to start off by talking about what it says right out the gate, that love is patient. I wish it would have started out with some other word than that word. Because how many of you would be willing to admit tonight that you're not the most patient person? Okay? All right, somebody that's like really excited about it in the back. This is something I would say, if you were to ask me, Pastor Jim, what is the sin that so easily entangles you? I would say it's a lack of patience. I struggle with this. And just to give you a classic case example, of course, we're living in Thousand Oaks, so I'm driving up here to see you guys. And every time I come here, this freeway outside this church has done something different. I am beginning to think they are purposely trying to sabotage my life. Because just when I think they've got the lanes correct, then they move them again. And so I'm beginning to think somebody in the land of creating freeways is out to test my patience. You see, in my life, I've been a pastor for 25 years. I've been a follower of Jesus for like over 30 years. But when I'm driving, I feel sometimes like I'm barely saved. How many are with me on that? So I don't know what it is. I blame traffic and I blame Amazon. And here's why I blame Amazon. Do you remember having to go to the store to try to find something very specific that you wanted and they didn't have it, and so you have to go to multiple stores and you try to get it, and finally you might have to go to a store and they'll tell you this, or they used to tell you this, we'll order it for you, we'll special order it for you, and you're like, okay, that'd be great. And so 2 weeks later they would call you and say, hey, your order came in, you can come pick it up. We're gonna be like, all right, this is great. And so you go pick it up. Now, thanks to Amazon Prime, we have conditioned ourselves to order whatever we want. I mean, I have a prop tonight that I'm going to show you in a minute. I was like, where do I get that prop? Amazon. In 2 days or less, it'll be there. I ordered something the other day. I'm not even exaggerating. I ordered something the other day in the morning, and in the afternoon, it was at my house. That is just crazy. But it's conditioning us, right? It's conditioning us to expect things quickly. And so as you start kind of having a revved up pace in your life and things start moving a lot quicker, when things all of a sudden aren't moving as quickly as you expect them to, guess what? You start feeling like your patience is being tested. Now, here's what we need to understand, is patience is not the act of waiting. Patience is really how you act while you're waiting. Matter of fact, I think there's a slide up there because this is good stuff. I don't want you guys to miss this. It's not the act of waiting. It's how you act while you're waiting. Because here's the news flash: you will have to wait for things in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, that in that waiting, that's your patience. It's the patience is how you're responding to your waiting period, how you're doing in the doctor's office for that hour and a half that you didn't carve out in your schedule that it was going to take the doctor to see you, hypothetically speaking. that's happened to me once or twice before. But this happens to all of us. Matter of fact, I was reading this. It says, a man observed a woman in the grocery store with a 3-year-old girl in her cart. And as they passed the cookie section, the little girl asked for cookies, and her mother told her no. The little girl immediately began to whine and fuss, and the mother said quietly, now, Ellen, we just have half the aisles left to go. Don't be upset. It won't be long. And he passed by the mother again in the candy aisle, and of course, the little girl began to shout for candy. When she was told she couldn't have any, she began to cry, and the mother said, there, there, Ellen, don't cry. Only 2 more aisles to go, and then we'll be checking out, in a very soothing, calming voice. The man again happened to be behind the pair at the checkout, where the little girl immediately began to clamor for gum and burst into a terrible tantrum upon discovering there would be no gum purchase for her today. The mother patiently said, Ellen, we'll be through the checkout stand in 5 minutes, and then you can go home and have a nice nap. The man followed them out to the parking lot and stopped the woman to compliment her. He said, I couldn't help noticing how patient you were with little Ellen. The mother broke in, my little girl's name is Hannah. I'm Ellen. She was speaking patience to her own soul. See, the Greek word for patience is really eye-opening. The word is macrothumia, and it comes from 2 Greek words, macro meaning long, and thumia meaning rage or anger. So other Bible translations besides the New American Standard will maybe use the word instead of patience right there, it may use the word long-suffering. The idea is it takes you a long while before you become a raging lunatic. The example here, if I can get my handy dandy prop, is this dynamite, right? Don't worry, it's not real. But here you have some fuses on this dynamite, right? So the idea here is as you light the fuse, it will take a little while before you see an explosion. This is macrothumia, meaning the fuse is long. So it takes you a long time before you get explosive in your rage or your anger. So a person that is lacking patience is more of that short-fused person, that it doesn't take much time at all to set you off. Now, if you are here and you're a person that you tend to have a short fuse, I get you. I'm just telling you. And I don't know how much of this is genetic and how much of it is environmental, the things that we learned while we were growing up. But I grew up from being a little boy, I had a short fuse. I mean, even as a little guy, I would punch holes in my wall. I would kick in doors. One time, I was brawling with my sister. I mean, I had 5 brothers and sisters, and we squared off with each other all the time. And I was the baby, and so they knew, all my older siblings knew how to press my buttons. And because I had a short fuse, all logic went out the window. It never dawned on me at first that my brother is twice as big as me. And he's twice as strong as me. If he says something to tick me off, I was on top of him just for a second, and then I'm running for my life. But one time, my sister and I got into it, and I ended up pushing her out the front window like an old cowboy bar scene. It's just like, this is the kind of upbringing I had. I was a short-fused person. So this idea of macrothumia is something we need to know is a part of how we love people well. If you have a short fuse, it's going to be very difficult for you to love people the way that God wants you to love them. Matter of fact, a lot more is at stake than you just sabotaging your love, because people with short fuses can actually sabotage their life. One of the saddest stories I've ever heard happened when we planted our church in Las Vegas. It was like headline news at the time that we had planted the church that a little road rage kind of got ugly on one of the side streets in Vegas, and this woman, I don't know exactly what she did, but she did something wrong, and a guy behind her decided that he was going to follow her and chase her as she pulled into this car wash to get her car washed. She had a little baby with her. And this man that was upset at the way she handled the situation on the road drove up behind her, same car wash, and was so angry, he went to her door before she could even get out of the car, opened the door, and just went off on her, cussed her out, screamed and yelled at her. And she's fearful of her life. She grabs her baby, and she leaves the car there at the car wash and goes in and calls her husband on her cell phone. Now, her husband, who is a chiropractor, is at work that day, gets this phone call. His wife is hysterical. She's telling him that this guy is threatening her life. So he just leaves his practice, gets in his car, drives to where she's at. The road is kind of busy, so he literally leaves his car in the road at a red light so he could run down a little ways to the car wash and confront this man. So he gets there, finds his wife and his baby, makes sure they're okay, and says, "Where's this guy at?" She points him out, and he goes over to this guy, confronts this man who's about 20 years older than he is, pushes him in this car wash. The man loses his balance and proceeds to fall and hit his head on something inside the car wash, and he dies. That was just the incident. And then the trial came. He loses his practice, goes to jail, pays all kinds of legal fees, on top of the fact that this other man is dead. See, it's one thing to have a short fuse. It's another thing to come in contact with another person that also has a short fuse. Pretty soon, you've got a very bad explosive situation on your hands. Some of you have lived that out in your own lives, in your own families. You know what I'm talking about. And this is why we need to talk about it. See, the side effects of a lack of patience is, I believe, threefold. And you need to write these down, because I believe tonight we're doing much more than helping you become the outrageous lover that God wants you to be. I believe we're keeping some people from sabotaging their own lives by talking about this. All right? So write these down. Here's just some basic side effects of a lack of patience. Number one is ruined relationships. Some of you know, because you've had conversations where you let your short fuse get the best of you, and you said things that later on you can't believe you said. Have you ever been so mad that you started speaking over somebody and you didn't realize what you said in the moment, that somebody else told you, "Yeah, you did say that," and you're like, you were so in a rage, you blanked out. You weren't even present in the situation. You were so mad. Let me tell you something. One toxic conversation you have with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents, with your, you know, bigger family, your aunts, uncles, cousins, the list goes on and on. One toxic conversation can cost you that relationship. And some of you know that to be true. You haven't talked to a relative in 10 years because of a short fuse situation that you had to deal with. It can ruin relationships. How many of you have ever received or been guilty of sending a text message with all caps with a lot of exclamation points on the end? Never ends well, does it? You even though the person's not there yelling at you, the all caps and exclamation points, you get the picture, you're like, you're upset. Let me tell you, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So it's time that we get a hold of this. Here's the other thing, and this is probably even more serious, because now we're talking about your health. Health hazards. You know, when you get angry like that inside, there's all kinds of toxins building up. That when your blood pressure goes up, it's creating all kinds of havoc inside of your immune system. Doctors and scientists will agree today that the number one cause of most autoimmune problems is stress. Stress is a direct byproduct of rage and anger that's happening on the inside of you. Yeah, you may be smiling on the outside, but you could be raging and mad on the inside, and you just are hiding it well. Well, guess what? You can trick your neighbor, but you can't trick your body. Can you receive that word tonight? You can trick your neighbor, but you can't trick your body. Obesity is linked to people that have short fuses, heart issues. So many people are hospitalized every year because of stress-induced situations because they cannot control their tempers. And here's the third side effect, and it's probably the most serious, but it's dashed dreams. This is your future. These are the hopes and aspirations that you have. These are the promises of God for your life. And God has promises for all of us. I want you to know that. That as God sits in heaven and thinks about your life, he's got big plans for you. He's got big dreams for you. But your short fuse can actually keep you from the promises of God becoming a reality for your life. How do I know this to be true? Because there's a story in the Old Testament found in Numbers chapter 20. And Moses, who was the leader of Israel at the time, was leading them through the wilderness. And he was dealing with a group of people that were chronic complainers. They were never content. They always had something to moan about. And this particular time, God had provided all these miracles, but they had no water to drink. And they're in the desert. And so they start going, we're thirsty. And pretty soon this whole kind of rally started, you know, against Moses and his brother Aaron, like, hey, they just brought us out here. We're going to die. This is stupid. There's no water out here. These are terrible leaders. We'd be better if we just went back home to Egypt. And it just was kind of just all over. Moses and Aaron go to pray, and God tells Moses, I want you to speak to the rock, and I'm going to do this miracle. You've never just spoken a miracle before. You've raised your hand, you've done some things, but you're going to speak this and water's going to come out of this rock. So Moses leaves the presence of God with this word from God, like, you're going to speak to the rock and water's going to come out. And the people, he comes out and there's this big mob of people going, hey, look, it's Moses, look, it's Aaron, I wonder what they're going to say. And have you ever just been around people that are just annoying and irritating and you just lose it? It's like, you know what, I've controlled myself, I've been nice, but you know what, you all are just dumb, you know? You're just like, I'm tired of looking at your ugly face. I'm going to say it. Moses blows up. He just has enough. I remember watching Popeye when I was little, the cartoon, and I remember Popeye would just take a beating from Bluto, but all of a sudden he goes, that's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Like, this is Moses' Popeye moment. He's like, ah! And so he hits the rock twice. Water came forth. And this is how water had come before, but God wanted to do something new. God wanted to put a picture of Christ in the middle of this Old Testament story, but Moses and his short fuse messed up the story. And because of that, God and Moses had a private conversation. God tells Moses, because of what you did in front of all these people, you're not going to be able to enter into the promises I have for you. You're going to be able to look at it, but you're not going to be able to enter into it. The dreams and promises of God are real, but your short fuse, your lack of patience, your inability to control your temper could, my friend, keep you from the promises of God becoming the reality of your future. This is why it's so important that we get this down. Matter of fact, if you look at the whole book of Proverbs, there are so many Proverbs that warn us about having anger that's out of control. Let me just give you five because of time. I could give you probably 30, but let me give you the five that I think are the best that we can circle tonight. It says, if you stay calm, you are wise, but if you have a hot temper, you only show how stupid you are. It's a good news translation. I love that. It says here, Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is, what's that word, church? The one who is patient, long-fused, calms a quarrel. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs 16, that's verse 32. It says, patience is better than strength. Controlling your temper is better than capturing a city. Proverbs 19 says, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. So good. And here's the last one, Proverbs 29. Stupid people express their anger openly, but sensible people are patient and hold it back. Isn't that good? It starts with stupid people and ends with stupid people. If you are a short-fused person, you're a stupid person. Why? Because you're a fool. Because you're sabotaging your life. You're sabotaging your relationships. You're sabotaging your health. And more than anything, you're sabotaging the future that God had planned for you. So we've got to get this right. So as we look at this, I want us to take some time to talk about taming our inner Hulk. Taming your inner Hulk. You know this guy, right? Hulk smash. Now, if you grew up in the 80s like I did, Hulk was Lou Ferrigno. He's the best. That's classic Hulk. And I remember that character on the TV show was, "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." And he would start busting out of his clothes and turn into this raging guy, the Hulk. But see, here's the reality. Whether you're long-fused or short-fused, there's a Hulk inside of you that's wanting to come out. And so we need to talk about taming your inner Hulk. And here's the good news. I don't have 5 steps tonight to tame your inner Hulk. It doesn't even take 3 steps to tame your inner Hulk. I'm going to give you the 1-step plan to tame your inner Hulk. Are you ready for it? Write this down. You don't want to miss this, especially some of you that came into the church green tonight, driving that freeway. There it is. Write it down. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. So really, that's it? It is. Because here's the reality. Patience isn't a virtue. It's a fruit. Let me give you my evidence right here in Galatians chapter 5. You guys can put that verse up. Galatians chapter 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's a capital S, this is the Spirit of God, is love. I love it. Starts with love. It's love. Joy, peace. What's that word, church? Come on. Turn to your neighbor. Tell it to your neighbor. Patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What you need to understand is that when the Spirit of God is living in you, patience is able to move through you. But you have to have the Spirit of God living in you to have the patience moving through you. So the Spirit of God is what makes your fuse longer. And it prevents you from turning green and becoming that Hulk that is wanting to destroy your relationships, your health, and your future. So one of the classic examples that I can give you is from disciples that followed Jesus. There were these two brothers, James and John. Now, they were branded as the Sons of Thunder. Now, it wasn't because they were WWF wrestlers or something. You know, they didn't have a show on the Strip, right? That's Thunder Down Under. That's a different sermon, all right? These guys had tempers. James and John could not control themselves. And one example that I want to show you is in Luke chapter 9. Jesus is doing ministry, but he's feeling called to go to Jerusalem. And so he's going to Jerusalem, and he's going to cut through Samaria because Jesus wanted to minister to the Samaritans. But there was a culture war going on between the Jews and the Samaritans. So the Samaritans found out that Jesus wasn't going to Samaria as his final destination, that he was actually moving on beyond them into Jerusalem. This is what we read in Luke chapter 9. It says, when the days were approaching for his ascension, Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume these guys?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. So I just, James and John are like, man, nobody's going to diss Jesus, man. Like, that is wrong. That is rude. You know what? We're going to just pray right now that God would just consume him with his fire. And Jesus said, "No, that's not my style." See, something completely transformed John. Because in Luke chapter 9, he was a son of thunder. But we just finished reading the epistles of John. And now we're in the book of Revelation. And even the Gospel of John. John wrote these five books of our New Testament. And there is a theme woven into these books that he wrote, these letters that he did. And that theme is love. I mean, more was told about love from John than any other disciple that we read about in the Bible. He talked about love far more than anybody else. So how did a son of thunder get transformed to be known as the apostle of love? The Spirit of God. He had an encounter with Jesus. He hung out with Jesus. He was filled with Jesus. And Jesus transformed him from a son of thunder into an apostle of love. That is the difference maker. In other words, the Spirit of God breathed into John so powerfully that in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they were preaching a sermon and the power was moving. And it says that the other people in the area knew that they were changed, that they had been hanging out with Jesus. So the people were connecting the dots and are like, they're moving in this kind of power because they have been with Jesus. Jesus is the difference maker. The Spirit of God breathing into your soul is your difference maker, my friend. It is what is going to transform you from the son or daughter of thunder that you are now into the apostle of love that God is calling you into for your future. Okay? It's a one-step process. And we need, it's imperative that we get this down right. Now, as you think about this idea, I was reminded a couple of weeks ago of how even though you take good care of your tires, sometimes they can start losing air. Josiah had to have some tires replaced on his car, and it was about a couple months ago, so they're good tires. And he came in one day and he said, "Dad, my tire gauge is showing that my tires are low in pressure." And I told him, I said, "Well, that's pretty common because, you know, when the pressure of the seasons change, sometimes it affects the pressure in the tire and you can kind of lose air and you need to put some more air in them." So that warning light, the indicator on the dashboard, is letting you know that your tires need more air so that you can move the way you were supposed to move, so the tires can do what they're supposed to do. And for me, it was a revelation. Because just like we get filled with the Spirit of God, sometimes we can lose some air in our spirit. We can feel a little deflated. Maybe because the season's changing in our life. Maybe the pressure has changed in your household. Maybe the pressure has changed at work. Maybe the pressure has changed with your finances. And all of a sudden, there's this pressure change, and you're getting this light on your dashboard that something is not right. And what I've found is that the way that I know that I'm a little deflated is my lack of patience. When I start going from 0 to 60 with my temper, it's an indicator that I've lost some air. And you don't have to be into some kind of radical sin to get deflated. You just are living in this pressurized thing called life that could cause you to get deflated. This is why the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter to the Ephesians, and he says this in Ephesians 5:18. He says, if you guys could put that up. He says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek language, this is important for us to understand. That word means to continually be filled. Not a one-time raise your hand, come up to the altar, check the box, pray the prayer after church, and then you're all good. What Paul's saying here is you need to continue to be filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because you're leaking, my friend. You got an air leak called life. And you have to have a constant flow of the Spirit of God inside of you if you are to maintain the patience that God wants you to have in this world so that you can love people well and stop sabotaging your own life. This is what it's talking about. Remember at the beginning, I said I'm that guy by default. I have the short fuses. I had a situation happen about 5 years ago that was a defining moment in my life. It was around Christmas time. And this is one of those stories that I'm embarrassed to say, but maybe this will help somebody here that's struggling in this area. We decided that we were going to go get a Christmas tree, and we have a tradition, you know, when we go get our tree, we get a live tree, and you go to the tree lot, right? And we go to Starbucks, we get the hot chocolates, and we all go together. We all bundle up, and we just go. So here we are. We're about ready to leave. Now, we had just bought a puppy. So we had this little puppy, and I know how to take care of dogs really well. I was going to school to be a veterinarian, and so I'm like, okay, before we leave, we got to make sure we put the puppy in the kennel in the garage and make sure that the puppy stays safe, because, you know, leaving a puppy unattended would be like leaving a toddler unattended. So you just got to make sure that, you know, you got the fence up. And so I told Josiah, I said, you know, put the puppy in the kennel. He puts the puppy in the kennel, and we get in our car, and we go pick up our tree, and the Christmas music's playing. We're drinking our Starbucks drinks, and I mean, it's a Hallmark moment for the Cruz family. So we are coming home. The Christmas tree is there in the back, and we're getting everything ready to put it up. And then we open the garage, and there the puppy is loose, running amok in my garage. Now, I don't know how long that puppy had been out. Maybe the puppy had just gotten out. Maybe, but what I saw was that the puppy had obviously had enough time to eat something that didn't agree with its stomach. And I will let you picture what my garage looked like. I mean, it was a mess. It stunk. Stuff was tore up everywhere. And I'm just watching the scene, and I could just feel the anger coming up from my feet. It was coming up, and all the Hallmark pictures were gone, and all I could see was fire. And it was just raising up. The family is just trying to assess what's going on too. And then the anger got to this area right here. And I just lost it. How dare you, Josiah, do you not close the thing? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't even know what I was saying. It was like I was speaking in tongues. I was just so mad. And they weren't tongues of angels. They were tongues of demons. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, blah! And then I make eye contact with my wife. And she just like grabs the children. Come on, kids. We're going away. And she leaves. And I'm looking at this garage, the Christmas tree, and the truck. And I just go in the house, totally defeated, totally feeling like I am the worst husband. I am the worst dad. Just had probably one of the worst moments of my life. And I'm a pastor. I just probably preached to you the couple days before that. And here I am in this complete, utter shame. of what I had just done. So I practice what I preach. I put some worship music on. And I said, I need to have some time with Daddy. And so I just let the Holy Spirit begin speaking to me as I was just worshiping. I was just letting the worship music flow. And I realized something in that moment. That God said, Jim, you've been doing a lot of things for me. But you haven't done the most important thing, and that is just to be with me. You're deflated. You just need to be with me. And let me breathe into your soul and inflate your soul again. Your lack of patience is just the indicator that you're deflated and you need my Spirit pumping your soul back up again. And I just sat there for about 3 worship songs, and I'm crying. I'm just sitting before the Lord, and I'm just letting Him fill me back up, just absorbing His presence. And I realize that if I want more patience, I need more of His presence. More patience, more presence. So when I felt good, I called Tara and I said, the coast is clear. You can come home now. I'm good. And she came home. I sat everybody down on the couch. We had a little family meeting and I just apologized. And I said, the guy that you saw, that Hulk that came out in that moment, I make a vow to you guys that that will never happen again. I had a clarifying moment that the Hulk is still there, but the way you keep him from coming out and sabotaging not just your love, but more importantly, your life, is to let God fill your soul with His presence. And you, my friend, will be more patient, which tees you up to be the outrageous lover that He's called you to be. Would you just bow your heads? Would you just agree with me in prayer? Father, we just thank you. God, I know there's some fellow short fusers out there. God, we need more patience, which means we need more of your presence. And as the prayer team is coming up here, maybe tonight you came in here, your soul is deflated. And the indicator is you've been losing your cool with everybody that comes in your path. My friend, don't leave here without letting somebody pray for you and lay hands on you so that you could be filled with the Spirit of God. And some of you, you've never let Jesus on the inside of who you are. Before you leave tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to the One who loves you more than anyone or anything. And He's here tonight to extend His life to you, to let heaven come to you and change you from the inside out. The only way you are going to stop the person that you are is you have an encounter with Jesus. And I'm telling you, the way that God changed John and the way that God changed Jim, God is here tonight to change you. But you have to surrender your life to Him. And if you want to make that decision, I want you, as we dismiss, I want you to come up here and let one of these prayer leaders pray for you and say, I am ready to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God and become the man and the woman that I know God wants me to be. So, Father, we dismiss in your love. God, may we have more of your presence this week. May we have more time just sitting with you instead of working for you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.